WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Let's go. Sounds good. Real good. Yup.
What's happening? We was in the race, we lapped them. Yeah. Let our feelings go, we didn't trap them. Yeah. I was gone at first, but now I'm back again. Yeah. You like action? We had a lot of baggage, we packed them. Damn. We went all the way, so you wanna stay? No one's perfect here, we all make mistakes.
Can't change the past, but we have right now. Let's get over.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. If you're listening to us over on rockradioshow.com, walltalkradio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here, we're live. It is a Thursday night. It is the week of SummerSlam, which takes place this Saturday, live on ESPN Unlimited and on Netflix internationally. This Saturday and Sunday, I should say. Two nights of SummerSlam, 6 p.m. Eastern. Check your local listings for time availability in your area. You tweet us at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, at Lindsay.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/WTRLive, where you can interact with us live. And make Lone Jobber eat jelly beans.
You know, like you do.
There are 39 of them in queue.
Damn. Wait, when was the last time Jobber was here?
A couple months ago, but he didn't have jelly beans.
Okay.
We go back 2 years for a couple of redeems on them. So... Yeah.
2 years worth of redeems?
It's not 2 years worth of redeems, but there's some that went as far back as 2 years for it.
Wow. Wow, damn.
So we got at least 39 jelly beans to be eaten. So
he's gotta get cracking on the heading. Brent, or on Brent, the jelly beans.
Brent needs to send him more.
Brent.
We'll work on that. There you go.
Get on it. My question is, since it's the biggest party of the summer, Have we packed the beach balls?
No.
And the suntan lotion?
Nope.
And the beers?
Nope. We got fireworks, though.
We do have fireworks.
There's a fireworks button. It still works.
We need beach balls.
Hey, look, there's fireworks. Right over Brock Lesnar's face. Fireworks.
It's an improvement.
It's an improvement. It's something. I don't know. What else do we need? We need beach balls. Someone else can work on that. Tell Brent to do it.
Brent, earn your intern title. We need to prepare for the biggest party of the summer. Somebody make barbecue. Damn it. We need brisket. Actually, I think my dad is smoking a brisket this weekend.
Nice. Which is a reminder, anyway, we're live after SummerSlam Night 1.
Yes. To give our thoughts and feelings and reactions. But I said we jump right into the news brought to our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211.
We're not doing news.
We're not?
We just talked about this.
Did we?
Yes. Like a minute before we went on the air.
In one ear, out the other, chat. In one ear, out the other.
We're talking about the first night of SummerSlam. So let's talk about the first night of SummerSlam.
All right, let's talk about the first night of SummerSlam. It will be airing on the Netflixes here or abroad. It will be on ESPN here in the state. Are we getting free matches on ESPN? I don't think we are, right?
There's no free matches on the internet on ESPN proper because, you know, that ESPN hates the WWE relationship right now. They're so mad at them that they're not going to put it on there. The numbers are too low. They're not going to put it on free television. So watch ESPN proper for a 3-hour kickoff show Saturday and Sunday starting at 3 p.m. Eastern leading into the main show. That's how mad they are with WWE. They're giving them 3 hours of television time each day.
Damn.
So
must be nice.
So upset at them. So mad at the numbers.
They're so pissed, guys. They're just so pissed. All right. And they get the shiny title, right?
Yeah, there's a title we'll be given out each night for the moment of the night.
You know, so pissed. All right, let's start from the rip. I want to save match 2 for last.
Okay, I don't have a card in front of me, so we'll just go with what you got.
Okay, all right, let's open with it. Liv Morgan, your champion, your women's world champion, is defending against Io Sky.
So, this one. If the curse is in effect, makes the winner very, very obvious. But maybe the curse is no longer in effect. We don't know for sure. If it is, then Io wins easily. They are, speaking of ESPN, they have brought up the taboo subject of Liv Morgan not defending her championship on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about it, like, she hasn't defended the title, so, well, you know, what does this mean for the title, and can you actually successfully defend the title? Which kind of plays into my head. Well, are they just now just building it up to where she will, in fact, retain the championship on Saturday against Io Sky? My brain kind of thinks it. I know you and Brandon don't really are not the Liv fans at this point in her career and think the belt should be on somebody else. I don't disagree that the belt should be on someone else. But I don't know if that's someone else's EO. That's where I'm having a hard time with it.
I respect that, and I can certainly see that. It's not that I'm not a Liv fan. I like Liv fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with her as a performer. She's doing a very good job in what she's doing. My issue is that she's not interesting to me because from a character perspective, she hasn't really changed what she's been doing in 2 to 3 years. And that's with a break. So it's like she's just kind of resting on what's working for her. And that's fine because that pays her bills. So I can't really judge her that harshly for that. But she's just not interesting. But in terms of her being a champion, she is a good, stable, solid champion. She puts butts in seats. People cheer for her. They pay to come see her. She's driving revenue for the company, which is important. That does play a factor in who gets titles and who doesn't, who gets merch and who doesn't. I don't find her terribly interesting. And then on top of that, she has, and this is no fault of her own, she is the sort of the victim of the Judgment Day writing because it's stale, right? Like her character the Judgment Day is not interesting. The Judgment Day is built and framed around her, and all they do is cheat to win. We say it every week on the post show when they have a match, every pay-per-view when they have a match. You know, you can time it down to the exact second when the Judgment Day is going to interfere. It's almost formulaic at this point. And they are trying to give us like some variety where it's like the Judgment Day interferes and they fail. Like, we're starting to see that where the Judgment Day formula is failing. But it's not enough to make it like interesting. And I think that's the problem with her. I love Io. Do I think Io would be an interesting champion? Yes and no. I think it's a change.
But is it a change?
It's a slight change, but here's where I was going to go with that. Even with the change, what do you do with Io? Who do you throw at Io? Because your top, because Liv is really sort of set up to be that top contender unless you have like a Roxanne or a who else? Or like you have Stephanie Vaquer come back. Because they're not, I feel like they're kind of like in contention, although you'd have to heat Roxanne back up, like, because they just gave Raquel the IC title, so she's not necessarily going to be in contention for the women's title. But you have Roxanne there. She could feud with Io if you wanted. But I'm trying to think of anybody else that you could kind of throw at Io right now, and you really don't have anybody. That's the problem. But on the flip side, for Liv, who do you throw at Liv? Who, if Stephanie doesn't come back, right? Because we're all waiting for Stephanie Vaquer to come back. You know, she's been rumored for a while now. We don't know her status, but if she doesn't come back here, who do you have for Liv? Like, do you have Roxanne turn? Do you have Raquel turn? Because they talked about it on Sunday. We've talked about it on this show before, that eventually people are going to get tired of Liv's shit, right? And they're going to want, and by people, I mean Roxanne. She's going to want her own title. She's going to want her own drive. They heated her up and now they've kind of cooled her off. And Roxanne's just been kind of sitting there biding her time. And they had her sort of working with Finn and then they backed off of that. And I don't really know where that was going to go. And it looked like that maybe Roxanne was like playing Finn. Maybe she wasn't. You know, Roxanne's entire motives for joining the group initially are questionable as to why she did it. Possibly to get closer to Liv. So it's a question of, in either case, it's fine. And that's the best thing you can say about this match. Either woman wins. It's fine. And you don't want to say that about a match. Like, you want to be excited for one or the other, but it's like, realistically, it's like, yeah, it's fine. It doesn't matter one way or another, because it's like, if you stay with Liv, then things continue on as they are, and it is what it is. If you put Io in there, it's a change and it's slightly interesting. And you're like, okay, all right, what are they going to do? How are they going to go with this? Are you just going to have Liv come back and re-challenge for the title? Are you going to move, say, like a Bayley? Are you going to like build Sol Ruka up and potentially have Sol Ruka challenge at some point for the title? You know, who are your immediate sort of threats? Are you going to have like a Becky possibly come into play? Because Becky would be a solid one to throw at Io. Because Becky's on a break.
Becky's nowhere to be seen on this show. Which Becky is surprising.
Has been on an extended break.
Let's talk about that for a second. Becky's not on this show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Drew McIntyre, nowhere to be seen on this show.
Nope.
Randy Orton, nowhere to be seen on this show. Usually with big shows like this, they would try to find a way to work them in. They didn't this year.
Well, Becky hasn't been around in general. She hasn't been around since she lost the title in Italy.
She was in the Queen of the Ring a couple weeks after that. And after that, she hasn't been around.
Yeah, so she's been very, very scarce. So Drew's filming a movie, so that's why he's not around.
I mean,
so Becky,
you could say he's filming a movie, but they could also have set something up where he could have been involved. I'm just saying, it's interesting that they're not around at the moment. But you Becky's could have there. Drew. But Becky's at SummerSlam. She's at the weekend. It's not like she hasn't been around. They're just not focusing on television. Randy is a different story.
WWE hates Europeans. Confirm. Hey, Brant, we need you to pack the beach balls in the car.
He's like, what?
What? But no, like, it's how do you make this interesting for everybody involved? Or is it just, you got my beach ball? Okay. All right, bud. Calm down. I'll give you a Sprite, one of my measly Sprites that you already have. That's all I have to offer. I don't have anything good. But it's like, how do you make this interesting? And is it even meant to be interesting? Or is this kind of one of those things that this is like a good semi-main filler? It's going to be like, the match is going to be fine. We've seen Io and Liv plenty of times. We know the match is going to be good, right? Like, we know they're going to hit it off. We know they're going to be talented. You know, it's like, none of that is a problem. And I hate that I keep saying that this match will be fine, because that's literally what it is. It will probably be fine.
It'll probably be really good. The outcome doesn't matter, is a better way to put it.
Yeah. The outcome, either way, is the outcome. You know, it doesn't, not a lot, I think, is going to necessarily change, which, unless you have like a surprise of like a Stephanie Vaquer come back or like a Becky get involved. Although I have a funny feeling that for Becky, they're going to hold her for Money in the Bank, and they could have her be a major player in Money in the Bank. I don't think she will win again. But you could have her sort of like be that player in Money in the Bank. I think that's what's going on with her, and they're just kind of giving her a nice break, because she was going there for a minute. In terms of who wins this match,
I'm gonna go Liv.
Hold on, I gotta queue it up. No, not 7-8. I'm gonna say Io. I don't want Liv to win. 8-ball. Io, you may rely on it.
Wrestler 1.
The champion.
Okay, so we're split. Up next, we have, in a 6-man tag match, LA Knight, Solo Sikoa, and Royce Keyes taking on the Bloodline, Jacob Fatu, Jey Uso, and Jimmy Uso. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, the thing that bothers me about this match is it's hard to care about a lot of the people in it.
That's fair.
Like, they're trying with LA Knight, and there's just part of me that just doesn't care.
They've gone to the well one too many times with LA Knight, and we talked about this before, where it's very much the same scenario of like what they did with Sammy, where they took you there, they took you there, they took you there, and they never pulled the trigger, and at some point you just can't go there anymore. And I think for Sammy, we were like a lot more generous because it is Sammy. In terms of LA Knight, I think we're being a little bit less forgiving, because it's like, are you going to do something with him or not? Because I just can't do this again.
It's not even that. It's just, I don't care about his struggle. I don't care. It's not even they've gone to the well. I no longer care. And that's sad to say about someone you think is talented, but to me, he will always just be a upper mid-card, yeah, guy. He's not a main event, yeah, guy. I don't want to name a match with LA Knight that made you go, wow.
It's not in a good way, but I could name one.
Okay.
Bray Wyatt versus LA Knight.
Now name one in a good way.
I can't.
I'll wait. Yeah. That's the problem. And that's the biggest situation with him. He's just he's a guy.
But I don't even remember the Logan Paul match, if you want me to be honest.
But he had a match with Logan Paul. Cool. Was it good? Yeah. But did it set the world on fire? Was it match of the year? No. Unlike the guys who get over, they were able to draw something out in the ring that makes you go, okay, you want to buy into them. Once you get past the yeah, LA Knight matches are yeah, and what? And that's why he's not in there for the world title. Because he's not the guy who can fight for them and be considered legitimate at this stage of the game.
He's all talk.
He's got muscles and show mouth. That's it.
He's fine in the ring. But yeah, it's like, and granted, I don't know if he's necessarily been given the true opportunity. Like, if he were to be put in a feud with Cody, like a actual legitimate feud with Cody, for example, like what he would do. And that's kind of the question. They've never really given him that opportunity. Or if they put him against like a Roman or something like that, where they actually put him in a main event spot, gave him that main event opportunity just to see what he can do. And that could be where this is going, is that they're putting him against the Bloodline to see how this works, to see how this goes, how he holds his own against Jacob, Jey, and Jimmy. And then potentially you could direct him at Roman, right? Because LA Knight's been talking a bunch of shit, so is Solo. And you have Roman at some point look at both of them, or look at LA Knight and be like, all right, fine, you want to fight? Let's fight. And it could be for the title. It could not be for the title. You could build it up, but I think they could do it, but you need the runway for it. because he's not there right now. Like, if you were to do Roman Reigns versus LA Knight on the next PLE, I don't think anybody would really care. That's the problem. And in terms of like LA Knight's struggle, it's not relatable, you know?
It's not at this stage.
Like, here's the thing, because I'm going to continue to compare them. Sammy's struggle was relatable, right? Because I think we can all see a bit of ourselves in Sammy.
Because
Sammy's sort of the...
You watched him struggle. Name
you
one
watched
time.
Him struggle.
Name one time LA Knight has actually struggled.
Stop
right there. You said, there you go.
Yeah. Like, you witnessed Sami Zayn's ups and downs and highs and lows, and that's for plenty of people. It's like Jey Uso is another great example. You know, we witnessed Jey's lows, we witnessed his highs, we went on that journey with him, we could empathize, we could connect with him, we could see, and the biggest thing is we could see ourselves in them because there was a vulnerability to the character. LA Knight, he's very cocky, he's very confident, he's a great talker, has a great look, but you can't see yourself in him, and it's very difficult to empathize to him because he's not vulnerable. There is no vulnerability there. And I think that's really the key, is we, like, as an audience, you need to be able to see a part of yourself in that performer to be able to emotionally connect to them in order to emotionally understand the story. Otherwise, it's just a story, right? Like, otherwise, they're just out there cutting a promo and you're watching a soap opera and you don't feel anything. And that's really what wrestling is meant to do, is to invoke emotions and a response. And if you're not doing that, then it's like they're not telling the right story, they're not doing the right thing. And I think that's really the biggest problem with LA Knight, is like, yeah, he's a great talker, he's got a great catchphrase, he's got all the things that could make him successful, except that emotional connection.
Then the bell rings.
And then the bell rings, yes. And that's a whole separate issue. Because, like, I can't... Like, there have been some really shit wrestlers that have made it into the Hall of Fame, okay? Like, and have been top stars for WWE because they could talk, or because they had a special kind of something to them that made them magical. And that's really the key, is it's the X factor of that connection to the audience, and they had it. Like, were they best in the ring? No, but they had everything else. And I think he has it. It's just, I think if they tweaked the character and maybe put him on an actual journey where he suffers, he needs the suffering, Jet. He needs to suffer. It might help him. But, like, I think if he could just be more human or more vulnerable and not just that very cocky, almost one-dimensional character, you know?
His paranoia doesn't relate. And that's what this basis of this feud is his paranoia. So he had to find people to work with him because he's paranoid about the bloodline taking over when the bloodline's already over. They already have control. It's not like they've had it. He's paranoid that he can't get anything, so he needed help, which is why he got voice keys. That's why he got a babyface Solo Sikoa, who was doing a good job starting out as a babyface because he hasn't changed other than just being cocky and showing that he can have fun a little bit. It's the only difference. He's showing he can have a little bit more charisma instead of being a button-up version of himself. He's daring a little bit. He's enjoying the crowd a little bit. And he's having fun again. And that makes a good baby face. It's not a relatable baby face, but it's a baby face that you can be like, yeah, he has a little bit more riz about him. That's a good way to put it. He has a little bit more riz. It's a fun character for now. Does it have legs? I don't know. We'll see. But for now, it works. The bloodline, I don't know. I feel like they gotta win this because of the dynamic. If Roman goes over, they need to win here to once again solidify that the bloodline is on top. I feel like the baby faces, too much ego, that would get in their way, and cost them the match. Because they're not a unit. As much as we talk about it, the bloodline's a family unit. They will work together. There is no real beef at the moment. They've kind of squashed it for now. So for me, I think bloodline goes over on this one.
I'm going to second that, just because I think it also continues the feud for Solo, because he's kind of feuding with the bloodline. It continues things for Royce Keys. It gives him something to fight you know, fight against. And it gives something for LA Knight to sort of rally against and fight against. And maybe it's the thing that like snaps LA Knight out of his paranoia, or it enhances it and he just gets more paranoid. Who knows? But yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Bloodline as well. Eight ball. Bloodline? Wait, let me do it again.
You didn't even ask the question. You just hit the ball. Eight ball shook it.
It's the mental connection. It said yes, so go ahead.
You have to ask it again.
Oh, okay. Eight ball. Team LA Knight is decidedly so.
Wrestler one.
Team LA Knight.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Up next, we have the six woman tag, which these shows feel a little unbalanced, by the way. Anyway, the six woman tag team match. The Bella Twins, Nikki and Brie and Paige, are taking on Fatal Influence, JC Jane, Lainey Reed, and Fallon Henley.
So Nikki made a return, as we've been talking about. She made a return last Friday on SmackDown, making the save for Paige and Brie. This will be a fun match. I'm glad JC and crew are on this show. Kind of earned a spot. This feels like it should be a babyface win. Feels like the Bellas and Paige kind of need that feel good victory over Fatal Influence, especially in their attempt to get that back to tag titles. Ah, I have a hard time picking them though.
Kind of feels like Fatal Influence needs to win more than the trio does, the Bellas.
But
Team Total Diva, we'll call them Team Total Diva.
Team Total Diva. But booking wise, it's like it's built for the Total Divas to win.
Agreed.
But from a star making standpoint, it's Fatal Influence.
I mean, you did just have Fatal Influence pick up the women's tag titles.
You did.
So that does play a factor into this. I don't feel like you can have them win those and then turn around and lose, you know?
I mean, anything's possible.
Oh, anything's completely possible. I'm just, for commentary, just throwing that out there.
If you're going to have JC go after the U.S. title, her teams need to win, in my opinion. Plus, to have the tag teams lose twice in a row is not a good look. I don't know if is JC going after the U.S. title, or is she Miss Money in the Bank this year?
I could see her being Miss Money in the Bank, honestly.
I think that may be the better play.
She could do a lot with Money in the Bank.
Just going to throw that one out there. I mean, yeah, she'll go after, but I think ultimately her prize is Money in the Bank. Think Fatal Influence here. I'm not sold on the pick, but I'll go Fatal Influence.
I'm going to be completely honest. I like the idea of Fatal Influence winning here. No offense to Team Total Diva, but with Fatal Influence, they are such a strong unit and they've been waiting for their time and their due that I feel like that WWE really has like one shot to get it. And if you're going to build them and you're going to make them into something, now's the time, and a very strong victory over the likes of the Bella Twins and Paige will do that for them. It will just continue to help make them, because here's the thing, like Paige and the Bellas can take the loss, another loss. You can make it up very, very easily for them.
You can.
Whereas Fatal Influence, I feel like if they do take a loss here, it will be a larger detriment to them, especially if you are trying to build JC either for Money in the Bank, or you're trying to build her into championship contention. Like, you need to have her be very, very strong whenever she's wrestling. And losses for her, especially, even if it is in a six-woman tag team match, need to count. And I just don't think JC can take the loss. Like, I think Lainey and Fallon could. If it was just the two of them, I think they could take it and it would be all right, because you could make it up relatively easily for them. You'd have to do a little bit more work, but you could make it up for them. With JC in the mix, I just feel like she can't stand the loss right now. She's in a really delicate spot and they just need to continue to build her and put steam behind her. And this would add just a feather in her cap heading into Money in the Bank and into the interim tournament too, because isn't she in that?
No.
No? Well, then
She lost because the ladder match is on Sunday.
Well, hell, then she especially can't take a loss. So I'm going Fatal Influence.
Fatal Influence.
All right, eight ball. Not going to hit the button. Team Total Bella? Uh-oh.
Wrestler 2.
Fatal Influence.
Okay, ask the eight ball again.
Eight ball? Fatal Influence? Outlook not so good. Okay, all right. Next up, let's talk about Gunther versus Nick Aldis, where Nick is stepping away from being a GM or whatever the hell his title is, and returning to the ring.
First time in 5 years in the ring for Nick. So it's been a hot minute. I'm excited for this match.
I like how they've built to this match where you've just had Gunther pushing and pushing and pushing Aldis until Aldis just snaps. And he's like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to get in the ring and I'm going to fight you and I'm going to teach you a lesson that you're not going to forget for a while. I'm going to give you a whooping. I think it's incredibly special that Nick Aldis is finally getting his chance to wrestle in WWE just because he was brought on as an authority figure. And he really hasn't been given the chance to shine in the ring. So I will echo Brent's point that he made on Sunday, where I do hope they give Nick Aldis a really proper introduction to the audience as a wrestler and so not just as a GM.
So the work, according to Nick Aldis himself, he did an interview where he believes they're working on this video, a video package for him using TNA footage and possibly NWA footage to kind of show the WWE universe that he's more than just the dude in the suit. That he's a former multi-time NWA World's Champion. Former TNA Champion. So that would be good to show the audience, whether it's on SmackDown or whether it's on the 3-hour kickoff show, to kind of sell them on, hey, this guy's a legit wrestler. He knows what he's doing. He's built like a brick house and he can go in the ring. He was talking about how the only thing he's worried about is cardio because he's built, but you know, there's show built and then there's ring built. He hasn't been in the ring. So he's got to get ready for that. Story-wise, they pushed his button. He's been pushed before, but this is the one that drove him over the edge. Gunther is the right matchup for him. It's power guys against each other. It should work as a good dynamic. I think Gunther ultimately wins because active wrestlers should beat authority figure.
Agreed.
But I think Nick Aldis will put up a fight and push him to his limits, and it will be like, I think the end result is Gunther respects his boss. That way, the problem doesn't exist any longer. It's two men settling in the ring. When it's all said and done, you go back to business.
Mm-hmm.
Because they shouldn't be at odds wanting to kill each other every week, because that would just get repetitive, especially for the Aldis character, because that's not who Aldis is.
Correct.
But I think it'll be a very enjoyable match, with Gunther ultimately winning, because on the big shows, on the big PLEs, Gunther comes out on top. The secondary PLEs, not always. But when it matters most, at the Rumble, won. WrestleMania, he won. SummerSlam, he should win here, too.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why they don't have Aldis wrestle? Does he not want to anymore, or do we think this test of water for him to possibly returning full-time as a wrestler? If he had his way, I think he would have come in as a wrestler, but I think that's not what they were looking for him. But you also don't need him as a full-time wrestler, because I believe he's at 40, somewhere around there?
He might be a little bit older.
Might be older than that. So is really bringing him in to be active wrestler at 44 really what they need right now?
He's 39.
39. Okay, 39. Do they really need a 39-year-old Nick Aldis as a full-time active wrestler? No. Especially in the time frame of they want to kind of get younger. But my point is, Punk's never been come in as authority figure and, you know, been inactive. Punk's a guy.
Also,
Aldis is not a WWE superstar. Punk is.
Punk came in as main event talent. They had the work already done on Punk. He's sort of a press and play character that they can inject into the product. Aldis, to the larger audience, to the more casual audience who are not necessarily aware of his accolades in TNA and NWA and on the indies, don't really know who he is. And so you're having to start from scratch with a guy who is almost 40, which is not old, okay? I'm just going to say that. In any other term, it's not old. He's not old at all. But in terms of wrestlers and building talent and how long it takes for them to necessarily build a main event star, especially when he's on the same show as Cody, because I think he is actually around the same age as Cody, that's a lot of work that you're really only going to get maybe 5 to 10 years out of him if you're really lucky. They're looking for those talents. They want those talents that they can sign them and they can keep them for 20 years. And they can build them and they can have them for 20 years. That or beyond. That's really what they want. They're getting them young. They're starting them relatively young. It's like you look at Rhea. Rhea was in her early to mid 20s when she broke out. And they will have her for however long they have her. Because I think she isn't 30 yet. So they'll probably get at least 10 years out of Rhea. Yeah, Batista was the exception, not the rule. Like, would I love to see Nick Aldis, like, this be his breakout match and he becomes a massive star and they put the title on him and he gets all the accolades? Of course I would. Like, that would be amazing for him. And I would love that for him. But we all know reality. We all know how this works. And it's not in Nick Aldis's hands to achieve that.
Can I make it more blunt?
Yes.
If I'm Nick Aldis, I want to stay general manager.
Yeah.
With the uncertainty of our roster, keep your job. Keep your on-screen job, but don't make any noise, and you'll be good.
I mean, honestly, Aldis and Pierce are kind of sitting pretty. I'm not going to lie. Like, you roll up once, twice a week, maybe, on occasion, or however many times they need you. You don't have to wrestle. You get to chill. You just do your backstage or on-camera bits, and you're done, right? You're not even, like, the star of the show. You're a side character of the show. So you really only show up, like, when they need you kind of thing. But you're getting paid whether you show up on TV or not. It's not pay-per-play. You're getting a contract. You're getting a paid anyway.
Plus, they're also agents backstage.
Yeah, so they're sitting really pretty right now. Like, I'm with Rock. Like, if I was Aldis and I was Pierce, especially coming up on the indies and, you know, you get this really cushy job, I wouldn't want to go to active roster talent. I wouldn't want to do that. I'd be like, no, I'm good. Like, one shot in the ring, one shot under the lights to fight Gunther. Sure. Yeah, that'd be great. That's fun. But I don't want to be active roster talent. I want to stay where I am kind of thing. So I can see that for him. But the match is going to be really good. I think these two are going to mix very, very well with each other. I do hope, you know, he gets a really, Nick Aldis gets a really good sort of like video package that introduces him to the more casual fans. Because while, you know, a lot of us like here know him, many others may not. So with all that said, who you got?
Gunther.
Yeah, I got to go with what the fuck did you just send in our chat?
Live crowd from TNA on television.
Okay, then.
That made television.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. I'm curious if they create a theme for him or if they use his old TNA theme.
There's a video game theme. He has a video game theme because he's playable in the game.
Yeah, they'll probably use that for him. Let's see. I'm going Gunther. 8-Ball. Nick Aldis? All signs point to yes.
Wrestler 1.
Gunther. Okay. All right, let's talk about it. CM Punk defending the undisputed WWE Championship against Cody Rhodes. I don't want Cody to win.
Well, I've got some good news for you.
Yay! I love good news.
He's not.
Yay!
At least he shouldn't. So Friday they did a promo and they kind of got heated a little bit and they kind of danced around things. You kind of want them to hit the subject, that the elephant in the room subject, but they've kind of danced around the elephant in the room subject because you don't want to give promotion to the competition.
Correct.
But I think that's kind of missing. The match will be really good. It's Battle of Egos. Where this ends up on the card is kind of the big question.
Yep.
I think this is the main event. I don't think it should be the main event. Because Hell in a Cell is going to be hard to follow. So I feel bad for whatever follows Hell in a Cell if it plays out the way it should play out.
Yeah.
I think this is a one and done, maybe. Well, maybe not one and done, but it should play out with a clean-ish win for Punk. I don't know. There's a lot of backstage politics on this one that kind of... You never know. But it should be enjoyable. The crowd should be very hot for it. They have to pick sides. They'll probably pick Punk's side, which will give an edge to Cody in terms of the way he can play the match. But I think ultimately Punk retains and Cody kind of tries to figure out who he is.
This kind of is like the Raw women's title match, except not. Either outcome is fine. Either outcome works. It's serviceable. Cody is champion at this point, and I think I speak for many, and this has been discussed many times, every time Cody has a title defense lately. Cody's champion does nothing for me. They've gone to that well, I think, one too many times. And I understand it. He's QB1. He's the new John Cena. You're pushing him to the moon. But in terms of Cody and his position in the company, has he achieved that level of John Cena where he really doesn't need the title to be the top guy? Like, he's on that level, I feel like, or he's breaking that level where he doesn't. And he can just be Cody Rhodes, and he can be the good guy, and he can be the spokesman, and he can go out and shake hands and kiss babies and sign autographs and do all the stuff that he's doing, right? And he can be the face of the company without the title. He doesn't necessarily need it. Is it a fancy little prop he can carry around? Sure, yeah, it looks good in pictures. But in terms of him being a champion for the product, especially to put eyeballs on the TV show, it's not interesting. It's, oh God, Cody won again. Oh no, he's champion again. Because it's kind of like Roman. He's literally gone through everybody twice. And they don't necessarily have anybody new that they're building that could fight Cody. At least with Punk, there's some interest, and you do have some people that Punk hasn't faced, I think, on SmackDown, and you can sort of build people up for him. But in terms of Cody, he's sort of at max. And it's not like you can move him to Raw and make it better because Roman's on Raw. And you have to keep those two apart because you have two faces of your company promoting your company, and they need to be on separate shows. You can't have all the star power on one show. I will agree. I think they are, like, the feud's been good, but they are dancing around the elephant in the room because you can't go there. As much as I wish they could, you can't, because a lot of people are going to look really stupid if that gets brought up. Which, if we all recall that situation, they look stupid originally. But to throw it in a storyline, which it's already been done as a storyline in the other company, to put it here, I think, would not necessarily be a great move. Even though it would drive the story, it would be a nice little tidbit. We'd all sit here, drink the tea, and, you know, be like, oh my God. I don't think it would necessarily do what they would want it to do for the story, especially because I'm not sure who it makes look bad. Because we know the facts, or the more informed audience knows the facts that we've been given around that, right? So it is what it is. Match will be fine. Match will be really good. It'll be really entertaining. I'm with Rock on the fact that I feel really bad for whoever has to follow Hell in a Cell. I really, really do. Honestly, I think it might be the sixth man that follows Hell in a Cell, because I think that's going to open. And then you close with Cody and Punk. But you could also flip that, where you open with Cody and Punk, you close with Hell in a Cell, which we'll talk about here in a second. But the match will be fine. I'm not as interested in this as I am Hell in a Cell. And I think that's sort of the point, is they're kind of half-assing it in a positive way, where they're giving you just enough to make it interesting, to get you engaged with it, to be like, all right, yeah, I'll sit through this, I'll watch this. But they're not putting their full ass into it like they are Owen Brock. You can see where they're putting their investment in their storytelling, and it's not fully here. Although it's fine, right? It's serviceable. Something happened between Cody and Punk and AEW. I don't think anything necessarily happened between them personally, although we don't know. But there is the whole situation with Punk in AEW while Cody was there.
We're talking about them being in the other company together. There's that elephant of just talking about it.
Yeah, like, you can't bring up that history between them, whatever happened in AEW, because that's giving credit to AEW, and they're not going to do that. So, and then it's also like, if you wanted to go there with Punk getting his ass fired from AEW, because Cody was there, I think, at that point still, or had he moved?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
But anyway, it doesn't matter.
But even if Cody had left, you can't have him say, you know, well, you're the reason I left AEW because you were so insufferable there. And now you're here and you're doing the same thing and you're, you know, you're being a parasite or whatever on the locker room, whatever he wants to say. You can't do that. You can't make that comparison. I think it's a little okay in TNA because they have the partnership with TNA. But in terms of AEW, they can't acknowledge that and they're not going to. So that takes a storytelling element out of this that could be used to add further tension. So you're manufacturing tension between Cody and Punk, and fictionalizing events potentially just to cover for everything, which makes it a little bit more awkward. Because it's always better when you have real history, especially for someone like CM Punk, which we've seen, you know, like with Seth Rollins, he was pissed when Punk left. Drew McIntyre, he's pissed when Punk left. Like, everybody's getting their pound of flesh out of CM Punk for what he did 10 years ago or over 10 years ago at this point. You know, they're getting that payback on him. And Cody doesn't really have that luxury of what everybody else has. So they're trying with this and it's been good. But, you know, it's not that, oh my God, nail biting, what's going to happen next kind of thing. And I believe that's the difference. I've already said it. I don't want Cody to win. It's boring to me. It's not interesting. I think you can have him not be the champion for a while, not go for the title for a while, and everybody will be fine. Like, give somebody else a shot in that spot, put him up against Punk, let Punk make somebody else, and let's see where this goes. But I am picking CM Punk.
CM Punk.
Alrighty, 8-Ball. Cody? Oh, 8-Ball, you betray me.
Wrestler 1.
Alright, CM Punk. And since we've been talking about it, your final match in Hell in a Cell for Pride and Pride only, Obafemi takes on Brock Lesnar. And this is where they have been whole-assing their storytelling, everybody.
They have done a great job of building this. This is going to be a big, major clash. It should be one of the biggest matches on the show. Brock is going to probably come to work for this one. Oba should look dominant in this one. You should get a lot of violence, throwing people in the cages. The cage should break at some point because they're just two powerful men who should break out of Hell in a Cell. That's kind of the deal.
Wait. What's the phrase?
Two big, beefy men slapping meat. Exclamation point, meat in chat. This one should be... WrestleMania was the start of the launch for Obafemi. The crowd digs him. The crowd loves him. Him losing to Brock hasn't slowed down momentum. The fans are still behind him. This should solidify whatever Obafemi is as the guy. Building the future around him. He's going to be the focus of your television show going forward. He should not be in Money in the Bank. He doesn't need Money in the Bank. He should be... You should give him something good coming out of this. Capitalize on the momentum of whatever Brock does for him, because I think Brock is going to do favors and make sure he comes out of this looking really, really strong. That's the way Obafemi should be. Being done to make him look like the man.
Brock, according to all... Intel is really into Oba and what he can do. And so I think Brock is 100% behind making Oba into the next star.
Yes. This was flat out an Obafemi win.
Ditto. I expect this to just be... I think the one thing I don't want from this is I don't want a ton of weapons in this. And I know there always are, but I feel like these two should just legitimately beat the shit out of each other. And not necessarily have to resort to weapons until, like, potentially the very end. Like, I really do want it to be a very physical contest between them until they just get exhausted. And then they're like, okay, now we're going to get the kendo sticks and the chairs. And I do agree that the cage should break. Nobody should go off the top of the cage, guys. Let's just go ahead and throw that out there right now. But I think they should be able to break out of the cage, and that causes further shenanigans and further problems. Not that, like, it's already a hardcore winner take all type match, so you don't necessarily have to worry about that, like, in terms of interference and somebody like causing a DQ. Not that I think anybody would interfere on behalf of Brock or Oba unless you have, like, the Vision do it for
him. And they're coming nowhere in this one.
Yeah, they're not in this. I wouldn't even involve them. I wouldn't even think about involving them. So yeah, I think that if Oba picks up the victory here, I think that will set him, and you take him from there. Because I agree with Rock. I don't think Oba needs Money in the Bank at this point. He won King of the Ring. He yielded that opportunity to face Brock, so technically that could come back up in his favor at some point when he decides to go for the title, whether that be Roman, whether that be Punk / Cody, you know, whoever that is. He could just bring back that opportunity and be like, look, I still technically have a title shot, even though I didn't take it at SummerSlam because I wanted to beat up Brock. I still have a title shot. And he kind of finagles his way into that. But yeah, Oba Femi all the way. And I would like to see this actually be the main event. I think this would be a better main event than Cody and Punk, but that's just me.
Oba.
All right, 8-ball. Brock? It is certain.
Wrestler 1.
Oba. All right, so that is night 1 in the books. So when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to be talking all about night 2 of SummerSlam. So you're listening to The Rack right here on MalltalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Fast lane through a hurricane. Open road and I'm ready to roll. With the pedal down.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTRLive? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line! Go Stone Cold Simpson!
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE Superstar Natalya, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang on chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we were back with a slightly less stacked night two of SummerSlam. I kind of feel like this is getting the shaft, I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, it has two really big important matches on it.
Yeah, I know, but still. Like, if you look at the big important matches on SummerSlam versus the big, or night one versus night two, it's...
I mean, whatever match had Hell in a Cell was going to seem like more important.
Oh, I know. But it's just, the fact that both six-person tags are on this one, or on night one, feels like, I don't know, it just feels like a lot.
Eh, it happens.
But then again, night two is getting two ladder matches, so who knows, chat? Who knows? All right, let's talk about it. Let's start with something fun, which is the Danhausen taking on Dominic Mysterio for Human Monies on a Pole match. The winner will keep the $100,000 Danhausen stole from the Judgment Day.
So, correction, it's only one ladder match. This is not a ladder match. This is a pole match. He's got to climb to the top rope and grab the monies from the pole. No ladders
will be involved.
No ladders needed. There will be no ladders.
I don't know, man. Danhausen, he's kind of short. He might need a ladder.
You just don't put the pole high.
Yeah, but Dominic's tall, so you got to balance it. Like, he just needs a ladder housing. That's all he needs.
You just get put one of the mini housings on his shoulders and bam.
But then does the mini housing get the money?
Or Danhausen gets on the mini housing's shoulders.
Oh, God, that would hurt him.
I don't know. This should be fun. This should be comedy. This is all about Danhausen.
No. I just thought about it. Three mini housings in a trench coat.
I mean, possible.
Could happen, chat. It could happen.
It could. But yeah, this is all about Danhausen winning.
Yeah. This is going to be stupidity. This is going to be... It's going to be fun stupidity, but it's going to be stupidity. It's going to be straight comedy. I fully expect the Judgment Day, at least JD, to be involved in this in terms of trying to get the money back. And I fully expect, since he has his own goddamn ice cream truck outside the event, and he's literally everywhere for WWE, becoming one of the faces of the company, that Danhausen will win. I would be genuinely shocked if he loses. 8-Ball? Joe Hendry, you would expect to show up too? Yeah, I could see Hendry getting involved.
So 8-Ball?
8-Ball? Dominic? All signs point to yes.
Wrestler 2.
Dominic. Okay. Up next we have Penta defending the Intercontinental Championship against Chad Gable.
Should be a really great wrestling match.
Oh, this should is going to be fantastic.
It could be match of the night in terms of in-ring one-on-one action without needing interference or everything. This is going to be a straight-up wrestling match, Lucha Libre style. You're going to see two guys get 15, hopefully 10 to 15 minutes to just tear the house down. I would open the show with night two with this.
Yeah.
Because it's that good. Gable, the hometown guy, going to be dressed in Minnesota like colors and all the things. This match is built for Chad Gable to win. This is the redemption arc complete. Chad Gable wins the Intercontinental Championship and he finally gets the run with the championship that he was trying to get 2+ years ago. It's one of those things where Penta's done great as champion. He's had it since, what, January?
Yeah, he's had it a while.
He's had a great run. But if you're going to feel like you've elevated Chad Gable out of the El Grande feud and Mask versus Mask, this is the best way to capitalize on it. Yes, Brent, long-term storytelling. This is how you finish the story. Gable wins the championship. Gable has a run. Not sure how long of a run, but you give him a few months as champion. And have him put on some really great wrestling matches with a new set of opponents.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chad Gable.
I'm going to agree with all that. I think Penta has been a wonderful champion. But this is Gable's sort of time. He did great with the El Grande feud. Carrying that, making Kaiser and handing that off to Kaiser and having him be the new El Grande Americano. Which I think Kaiser is now just in AAA. I haven't seen him for a while.
Which is good. That's where he's moved on to. That's the perfect spot.
Yeah, that's the perfect spot for him. They've adopted him, so good for him. I agree with everything Rock said. You know, Chad has worked his way back. He's built himself into this new iteration of himself. He's healed. He's come to terms with all of his bad things that he's done. So, yeah, I think this is the perfect time to pass the title to Chad Gable. Penta won't really be impacted by it at all. And Chad can carry the title forward and you can move Penta on to doing other things. So, 8-ball, Chad? Penta had a mini
wrestler one.
Mini win in a moment. Oh, sorry. Wrestler one?
Wrestler one.
Yeah. Wrestler one, Penta.
Penta had his mini moment. Yeah, Chad. It's Chad's in the hometown to start the show off right. Chad winning.
Mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense. Moving on, you have your actual ladder match, a 5-way for the interim women's championship. Tiffany Stratton, Jade Cargill, Chelsea Green, Charlotte Flair, Julia, or Lash Legend, because that has not been determined yet, will vie for an interim championship, which I absolutely loathe and despise and hate. And then once Rhea is healthy, she will come back and she will fight that champion and you will crown a new champion, or Rhea will keep the title, whichever works.
So go over the people again.
The peoples are Tiffany Stratton.
Stop.
Jade Cargill.
We're going to stop there for a second. She's the U.S. champion. Does she really need Tiffy two belts? Don't think so. Next one.
Jade Cargill.
I mean, she's viable.
She's viable.
She's a former champion. Next.
Chelsea Green.
Come back to her.
Okay. Charlotte Flair.
Do we want to see 17-time women's champion Charlotte Flair?
Honestly, I do want her to take it back from Cena at some point.
Well, yeah, but she's not. But she's gonna be what, 15 now. Whatever it is, she doesn't need. You do. We really need it right now.
No, the answer is no.
Right, and then.
And then we have either Julia
or Lash.
Or Lash.
Which for a ladder, I think Lash gets in. So that's the bigger girl in the match. You can have her powerhouse through. Julia would make more sense in terms of style, but Lash being dominant with the ladder, I could see them going with. But then there's Chelsea Green. It would be such a great time to make her the interim champion.
Oh, she would own the shit out of it. Like, her work on the U.S. Championship and being the inaugural U.S. Women's Champion and all that she pulled off there was phenomenal. She would be an amazing interim champion, especially if Rhea is going to be gone long term, which that I think is undetermined at this point. Like she could be gone another couple weeks. She could be gone months. I don't think we have an official diagnosis on what's going on with her.
It's a knee ligament issue that they're weighing.
So that's at least, let's see, she's already been out, what, a month?
Month and a half at this point, so it all depends how things go. That's why it could feel good in a week or two and be set, or it could be a couple more months, which is why interim is there.
I know, but I still hate it. I think Chelsea would be really good for the long term. Like if Rhea's gonna be out at least another month, Chelsea would be perfect for your longer term interim champion, because she could pick that up and carry that and run with it. I think if Rhea is going to be back in like a week to 2 weeks, I don't think that gives Chelsea really the shot that she needs to do what she can do with it. And that's kind of where my hesitancy on Chelsea sort of lies, is because it's like, if it's a longer term solution, it's great. It's absolutely perfect. She would own the shit out of it. She would do amazing things with it. But if it's going to be a shorter term solution, I kind of wonder if one of the other choices would be better, especially like, I know we talked about it, but like a Charlotte. I know none of us want to see Charlotte with the title again, but with Alexa being injured in quotations, you have to do something with her. And if it's only a 2-week run or a week run with the title, and you're going to get a match between Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair to crown the champion, I can think of worse things to deal with legitimately. So I wouldn't complain if it's a shorter term, if it would be someone like a Charlotte. Tiffany, like you said, we don't need it. Jade, I think Jay would be another good short-term solution, because we would get a decent match between Jade and Rhea out of it. I don't know, though. Like, Rhea and Julia, they haven't really gone there with that yet.
No, but this is not the place to do it.
No, this is not the time or the place to do it, but they haven't gone there with that yet. I'm kind of waiting to see what they do with it. And then Lash, I don't want Lash's first singles title win to be the interim champion. I think she needs something a little bit more stable, especially since you're kind of like setting her up for things, like you're building her. So I think an interim title win where she's just going to turn around and essentially lose to Rhea does absolutely nothing for her. Because I think in that scenario, no offense to Lash, they aren't going to have her beat Rhea. Unless you have Rhea get her knee
good enough to where she can do like one match, and then she comes back, she works against Lash, and then she gives the title to Lash, and then she goes away. That's the only scenario I think of which that works. Oh, he got a holo Peely. Congrats, Brent. Proud of you.
Nice. I have one too.
I don't.
Well, just came out. Anyway, I'm going Chelsea Green.
I gotta go Chelsea too. All right. The temptation of it being so good is just there. Eight ball. Charlotte? Outlook not so good.
So we'll come back.
Wrestler three. Damn.
Who's number four?
Charlotte.
All right. Ask another one for eight ball.
Eight ball. Chelsea Green? Don't count on it.
Boy, it's just eight being ball. Picky.
Tiffany Stratton? No. Jade Cargill? Damn. Undecided. Apparently nobody is winning this match.
Go back around.
Eight ball. Charlotte? Okay, there we go.
All right. Tried.
We did try. All right, let's talk about it. The other match to determine the number one contender for the Undisputed Championship, or not the other match, but the match that decides the number one contender, because we're deciding contenders tonight on this show. Sami Zayn versus Finn Balor. Not the demon, Finn Balor.
Yeah, this should be good. Again, so Saturday is more the spectacle. This night, it feels like more the wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
With Penta and Gable and Sammy and Finn, we're going to have two really good matches. I think ultimately Sammy gets the win because he plays better against whoever comes out champion. Because we don't need to run Finn and Punk back just yet. I think you can get back to that at some other point. I think Sammy Punk, one more time, proper build, could make for interesting television for a few weeks.
I think Punk and Finn would be good, especially because Finn has been working his way back. But Sammy does have the grievance in regards to the title and how he lost the title. And that is a very natural storytelling point that needs to be resolved. So yes, I would agree that I think here Sammy is the better choice. Although when Punk and Finn happens, if it happens, it'll be really good.
Yeah, it'll be really good once again. But we've seen it twice this year already. So
yeah. we don't need to see it again.
We don't need to see the third time just yet. So I'm going with Sammy.
I'm going Sammy. Eight ball. Finn? Outlook not so good. Uh-oh. Finn ball, or eight ball, you have to behave.
Wheel.
Wrestler three.
Yes! I got one.
Wrestler one.
Sammy. Up next for the U.S. Championship, we have Trick Williams taking on Baron Corbin.
He's back. This should be a solid match. I like that Corbin's back. I like to see him doing some things. I think this is also a good possible way to get the belt off of Trick if they want to push Trick to a higher spot on the card going forward, where he could be Trick in the Bank and Tricky Williams wins the world title that way off of CM Punk in the fall. I think that's a good spot to run if that's what they plan on doing. Since Corbin just came back, he kind of, this would be his first real big win coming out. Yeah. It would be smart. Crazy they passed on Carmella versus Trick and Mania now at SummerSlam. I mean, at some point, they're just not going to give it to you the way you want it to. It's just the way it is. It's just the way things are. I'm going to say Trick, though, because I think as much as I like, you know, Trick could be this and this and this, I think I may keep the belt on him a little bit longer. Or maybe it's Carmelo and Corbin for the title going forward. I don't know. I'm going to say Trick.
I feel like they brought Corbin back for a reason. I mean, I know they did. But like, I feel like they didn't bring him back just to be a jobber, right? Like, I think they have more than enough people there that they don't necessarily have to worry about that. So in terms of Corbin, I don't know. Like, we were talking about this earlier. Like, who do you throw at either Cody or Punk? I think Trick could be a good candidate for that because you could build him into a contender for Punk or Cody. He's already on his way. You know, he's been a really good champion up until now. I think you could give it to Corbin. Corbin would be perfectly fine with the title. I think he's held the U.S. title before, hasn't he?
Maybe.
So I think he would be a perfectly capable U.S. champion. He knows what he's doing. So you could begin to build Trick into a contender, especially for something like Money in the Bank, which is coming. or just a title contender in general, and you start to move him into that main event picture. So I'm going to go with Corbin. Why not?
I'm going to go Trick Williams.
Eight ball. Trick? My sources say nope.
Wrestler 3.
Yes! Two in a row!
Wrestler 2.
Wrestler 2. All right. Baron Corbin. Okay. And in your presumed main event.
It is your main event.
Roman Reigns defends against Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. The fuse between them has been really good. It's always really good. They've done a wonderful job on drawing on the history between the two, like they always do, and adding to that story. Again, I love how the wound festers and changes and grows between these two, and they never just go back to that infamous night where the chair shot heard round the world happened. Seth has wronged Roman many, many, many times since then, and Roman has wronged Seth many, many times since then. So they have plenty of stuff to work off of for this. We've had Seth on a personal journey of finding himself after sort of getting booted for the vision and figuring himself out. He's in a much more serious place. Way to go, Brent. Galaxy Peely. Well done. And we have Roman kind of falling back into his old ways as the head of the bloodline, which I said this, I think, on Monday last week or this past Monday. I'm not sure which. I'm happy that Seth is a much more serious character. Like, I love the fashionista version of Seth. But I like this version of Seth, too, because he's much more cerebral here. And if there's one thing Seth Rollins can do on an incredibly consistent basis, it is outmaneuver, outplay Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Seth can't necessarily overpower him physically, but Seth can outthink him. And that's where this is a really good feud between the two, because we saw Seth pull one over on Roman Monday night. He got one more shot in. Will Seth pull it off here? And will Roman finally beat Seth? Because I think Roman's never beat him, right?
That's the story. Roman's never beat Seth Rollins, which ultimately means Roman beat Seth Rollins here, because Roman finally accomplishes the one thing he couldn't do, and you close the book. That's it. It's the final chapter between the two. Nothing, no more has to be done. They can go their separate ways. That's it. That's the finish of the story.
One of the things that Seth can do consistently, or well, be a complete dick. Yeah, he can do that too. He's quite capable at that. But then again, so is Roman. Technically Roman has, but never on a big stage or when it mattered most. I don't think tags or six-mans necessarily count here. I think it's more singles.
But the point is, Roman Reigns needs to beat him definitively to finish that chapter and put the Shield story behind them all for good.
Yeah, I think you do it here, especially if Roman isn't long for the company, which we don't know if he is or he isn't. But just speculation, if Roman is eventually going to move on or Seth is going to move on, that you finish out the story here and you have Roman sort of like slay that beast and stand victorious over Seth. Finally, sort of, as Rock said, closing the book, closing the chapter on the Shield story, and finally getting his catharsis. Because like, that's the one thing that they don't really talk about a lot, is that Roman really never ever got his catharsis from the Shield incident. Dean got it, but Roman never did. And so that's why this has been like such an issue between them, is Roman, because Roman took the chair shot first. And granted, Roman has beat the shit out of Seth several times, but it's like getting that victory over Seth and proving that he is the quote unquote top dog over Seth would like just button things up really, really nicely.
Yeah, it would.
Roman Reigns has beaten Seth Rollins in singles matches, specifically on the episode of Monday Night Raw, September 15, 2024, and May 29, 2017, but he's never defeated Rollins on a premium live event or pay-per-view.
Okay.
This is why we have an intern.
It is. But again, when it matters most, Seth Rollins, with something on the line, Seth Rollins always comes out on top.
Yep.
But just not at SummerSlam. It's Roman, right?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. I think it's Roman. Eight ball? Roman? I think I hit the... Wait.
Wrestler 2.
What did the eight ball say?
I acknowledge my tribal chief.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I changed the results for this, just for this one.
You're such a dick. Wait, what?
And the wheel goes Seth Rollins.
All right, chat. Those are our picks for SummerSlam's Nights 1 and 2. Do you agree? Do you want to make alternate picks? Well, you can turn them in. Rock, where can they turn in their picks?
We could turn them in on the Facebook. You can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio, all the things. You got till, I don't know, was it 3 p.m., 4 p.m., whenever the show officially consider show starting is when picks are done and Brent's tired of capturing them. But that'll do it for Rack Live. We're here on the Wild Talk Radio. We're back live Saturday night when SummerSlam Night 1 ends to talk about it.
That's right. Tune in. We will have our live reaction to the show. So check it out. It's Saturday night. Whenever.
Whenever it ends, we're live. Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't work as well when we don't have a time.
Sunday, whenever Night 2 ends, Wrestle Talk Radio is live to talk all about it. I'm assuming around 10. I'm assuming 9:30, 10 for these shows. So be ready. We'll be live Monday for the Raw Post Show when we're all in, which is around 10:30, to talk all about it.
God, but we'll be live. WWE, get consistent stop times.
Next Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, review Night 2. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcast. Just search the Rack Radio Show. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch accounts. That Prime Gamers, that's Twitch Prime. It is Prime. Click the purple button below the screen to support channel for free. You can use credit card Rock and Sock or
Lynn's M Ward.
When you buy the new Spoodermans. Because Spooderman. Because why?
We are hashtag epic partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SummerLynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell Matt we said hi. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com. And we will see you next week. Or actually, we will see you Saturday for SummerSlam. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.